Father, I thank you for these people that come out on a Sunday night. Night service people are special to you, Lord, and you've told me that, because they're hungry. Now, Lord, these people have come to hear you, their shepherd. If they only hear me, they're not going to be helped. Lord, I thank you right now for anointing the ears of these people with ear salve, that they may hear what the Spirit is saying unto them, that they may hear the voice of their shepherd. Lord, that they may receive the direction and the help they need individually. For you are able to take your word and divide it severally among every single person so that they understand and get an answer for their particular need right now. Now, Father, I ask you to give me the anointing of the teacher now. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I may speak forth the oracles of God with boldness, but primarily with simplicity, where we can understand it, Jesus, that we may walk in it, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, which I sense so strongly. Anything that he wants to do at all, that's just exactly what we want to do. We yield to you completely, Lord, for it's only what you get done that will matter in the lives of these people. What you're able to do. Help me get out of your way, Jesus, to do what you want. And Father, for all of these things, we thank you in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, quickly, let me summarize. Skipping over a lot of things. My pastor is Pastor Dave Roberson in Tulsa, Oklahoma. When Sue and I started attending that church in 1992, summer of June of 1992, our lives were a complete wreck. I had just come through a serious cancer situation. I had been diagnosed with melanoma cancer, the fastest growing, most deadliest kind. The diagnosis was with the best treatment we can give you, sending you to MD Anderson Hospital. Our prognosis is that even if the surgery is successful, we give you less than a 40% chance of living longer than 6 months. And we had only gone there thinking I needed a mole removed. You can imagine the shock we were in on the way home. We had been basically out of fellowship, I guess you'd say, with the Lord for about 5 years. We hadn't gotten back into deep sin, hadn't gone back to the bars. We had gone through a terrible church split about 5 years previous to this incident that had pretty much devastated us. And we'd just been out of the Word. It's basically get up, go to work, come home, eat supper, watch TV, go to bed. By the way, if that's your life, you're already dead while you're alive. You know? Get on your face and pray, you'll outfit you, you know? And that's no life. You're already dead and don't know it. Hallelujah. But anyway, we started at the prayer center. We were a mess. That had just happened without going through it all. Let me just tell you that the Lord met us where we were, even at our lowest point. We were so weak, and the devil has no mercy. He waits till you're at your lowest point. Within a few months, I had the cancer thing happen, the 8-pound blood mass thing happen. I have 3 lovely daughters. They all went crazy at once, seriously. I'm not going to embarrass them by going into details, but to the point I was even fearing for their lives. The devil had come to remove Sue and I off the planet. The circumstances were that bad. When we started at the prayer center, Pastor Dave Roberson, if you don't know him, is very much into praying in the Holy Ghost. And he kept telling us that if we would spend time with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would begin revealing unto us the mysteries of God, all of these things that we don't presently understand. Jesus said he is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. Well, Pastor Dave kept teaching that. Now, to be honest with you, I had been burned by so many preachers in the past. My motto is, it's not scripture till I find it. I kept checking out everything he said, and I couldn't find anything wrong with it. Everything he said, I'd look in Grandma's Bible. I knew that was a real one. And King James, you know. And sure enough, everything was in there. It all fit. Well, one thing I knew for sure at this point in my life, we had been saved and Spirit-filled since 1980. This was in 1992 now. One thing I knew for sure, my way was not working. So I just decided to get real teachable. And I decided whatever Pastor Dave said do, I was just going to do that. After a while, he got me convinced, and I made a covenant with the Lord. I was driving trucks at the time. And I said, Lord, I'm in the cab of this truck 40 hours a week anyway. I'm stuck here. I'm going to turn off the radio. I'm going to turn off the tape deck. I'm going to turn off the CD. And if I'm in the cab of this truck, I'm going to be praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to turn myself over to you and give you some time to teach old Gary Carpenter something. So that process began, and I won't go through it at length. How many of y'all ever made a covenant with the Lord or a New Year's resolution? You know how you start off with gusto and full of vitality, you know? Well, that's the way I was. You know, God was going to come in the cab of my truck and talk to me. So I started off that first shift. Now, truckers work 10 hours on, 8 hours off. So here was my first 10-hour shift. Cristo Brandore, Sarandolo. I'm driving down the highway, you know, with the 80,000-pound rig, praying in other tongues. You know, fully expecting God to show up any minute, you know, and start explaining the mysteries of the gospel to me. I'm praying. 1 hour goes by. 2 hours go by. 3 hours go by. 4 hours go by. I haven't heard God say nothing. Well, I went into, just to tell you how it was. Now, truck stops are like this. You know, they have truckers in them. Big, burly truckers, you know, and they're, you know, a lot of them got those big red wide suspenders and everything. By this time, I've been praying in the Holy Ghost for 4 or 5 hours, and I stop into, I remember where it was. It was a Union 76 truck stop in Little Rock, Arkansas. And by now, I've been praying in other tongues so much, it's just getting to be second nature. So truckers, at least me, the way I did it, I get my coffee mug, and I go directly from the cab of the truck to the coffee pot, like this, you know. And I don't even realize that I'm still praying in other tongues. Cristo, my daughter, I seen the line. I'm going through this truck stop. You ought to have seen these big, burly truckers, you know, going, whoa, let this one pass. Let him up front, you know. He had some bad coffee or something. We don't know what's wrong with him, but something, you know. By this time, haven't heard God say anything. And to make a long story short, I got back in the truck, kept praying. 5 hours went by, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours. I'm into my 10th hour. How many of y'all think warring tongues went out the window a long time ago? You know, only thing I'm noticing is sore throat, dry tongue, and I'm starting to whisper now. Christus, my Noma. God will come talk to me in truck. Hallelujah. Sondorobansi. I'm about to fall over, you know. Right near the end of the 10th hour, I had my first vision. And it was a man on the horizon. And he's looking up into the sky, and in the sky are these circles. And written on, or ellipses. And they were written on these ellipses were wonderful words like salvation, redemption, prosperity, healing, peace, all of these wonderful things. And this man on the horizon was reaching, trying to grasp these things, but they were in the sky. And he was on the earth, and there wasn't any way by his effort that he could grasp them. And then in his vision, these lines extended from the circles. They began to extend to the man. And whatever was in the circle would flow down these paths. Peace, prosperity, salvation, redemption. And I was thinking, that's wonderful. Wonder what those lines are. And about that time, words appeared on the lines. The word was faith. Faith. Wasn't anything the man could do but receive freely the grace of God by faith. Suddenly I understood faith. Hallelujah. It's not by my works. It's free. All I can do there is stand there and receive it free by faith. Glory to God. Now that started the process, and I'm skipping over tons of things, as y'all know that was here this morning. That started the process. I began to write down anything like that the Holy Spirit would say to me. Now, the thing about me is I just don't have any quitting sense. The devil, in case you, how many of y'all have tried, let's be nice, 4 hours at once praying in other tongues, okay? Did the devil leave you alone when you started that? You start getting ideas somewhere in there like you're wasting your time. This is stupid. This isn't producing anything. You ought to stop that. I mean, the devil, he'll tell you to go pass out tracts if you start that. He'd rather you'd pass out tracts and spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, you know. Well, see, the thing about me, I mean, one thing I knew for sure, I didn't even get saved till I was 33. I always tell everybody, these lines around my eyes, that's not just age, that's mileage. I worked a lot of years for the devil, you know. But one thing I know for sure, in all those years, I never spoke with other tongues while I was working for him. So now that I was sold out for Jesus, and I was speaking with these new tongues, I figured that voice that kept coming telling me to quit wasn't God. You know, I just figured it wasn't God telling me to quit. So I just kept on, you know. Well, the Lord kept on teaching me. Now, He teaches me primarily three ways. Sometimes with a vision, like that one there. I've had Him come and what to me sounded like an audible voice. And then sometimes that voice is not so audible. I know it's inside, but it's very precise. It's very clear. Just as clear as if you came up and said something to me. And then sometimes it's just by what I call revelation. One minute I didn't know something. The next minute, I knew something. See what, in simplest terms, the way I understand 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks unto God, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries. What's going on? The Holy Spirit, your teacher, he is literally speaking those very same mysteries that Paul was made a steward of into your spirit. It's exactly like when I went to Oklahoma State University to learn how to become an engineer. I didn't know how to be an engineer. So I came and I sat in the class while they taught me how to become an engineer. All right? Let me tell you this. I don't know how to produce miracles, do you? I don't know how to get a cripple to get up out of a wheelchair and run off. Neither do I understand how to get the anointing of God involved in my business. I didn't then anyway. I didn't know how to do it. Those are the mysteries that I don't know. And if I'll come to the school of the Holy Ghost, just like I went to Oklahoma State University to be an engineer, and I'll come and I'll plop my hiney down in a chair and sit there for about 4 hours, and the Holy Spirit is willing to teach me for 4 hours. If I give Him 10 minutes, He'll give me 10 minutes. Now, I finished a 4-year engineering curriculum in 4 years because I was diligent to go. How many knows I could have just as easily stretched that out to 9? Just don't attend, take that many classes. Don't sit there. Some people say, well, I've been a Christian for 47 years, you know, and I don't hardly understand anything. Well, how much time are you giving the Holy Ghost? How much time are you giving Him to teach you, you know? Okay, now I'm going to jump ahead again. After 2 years of that, 2 years, everyone say 2 years, praying 40 hours a week in other tongues with a job. I have to be real careful when I give this testimony because so many young men especially, they say, well, God called me to do that. Somehow they never hear the with a job part. I'm real careful anymore. I had to go back and tell some guys, no, you missed an important part. Anyway, after 2 years of doing that, and we had recorded several hundred, I would write down everything the Holy Ghost would tell me. I'd leave the papers with Sue. She would type them into the computer. After 2 years of that, several hundred of those teachings, and I'm talking about things just as if I went in and sat down in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. Did He come and He taught me things I didn't know before that I know now? After 2 years of that, He came one day, not as teacher. He came as Lord. This day He came, He didn't come to teach me nothing. He came to give me instructions. He said, today, this trip is the last trip you'll take as a truck driver. When you get back, I want you to resign, and it's not my will that you ever hold a secular job again the longest day you live. How clear is that? Okay? He says, I want you to go full time. I want you to go into ministry full time working for me. The only problem I had with that was, what ministry? All I was doing was driving trucks, praying, and listening to Pastor Dave Roberson's tapes, you know? And skipping over again, I've got to. I didn't obey him for 10 months because I couldn't figure out how in the world we were going to eat, how I was going to make my car payment, how I was going to do anything like that. And so I kept begging him, please tell me just a little bit. How am I supposed to make the car payment? How are we going to pay the rent? And like I said this morning, one thing I've learned about Jesus, you can forget about asking about step two until you take step one. I begged him for 10 months to tell me about step two, and you could forget it. Not until you're willing to take step one. See, when he comes like he did to Abraham. I want you to leave everything that's familiar to you in the country you're in now. And I want you to go into a land that I shall show you. He doesn't show you before you go. You find out about it when you get there. Skipping over a bunch of stuff again. 10 months later, circumstances occurred. I decided it'd be in my best interest to obey him. The details are on this morning's tape. I decided to obey him. Once that decision was made, immediately instructions came for step two. I didn't have to beg him for instructions for step two. He had just been merely waiting for me to take step one, like he told me 10 months before. Now, the problem is, instructions for step two were more scary than instructions for step one. That's when he told me that he wanted us to start this little Bible study in our home. He told me who to go after, who he wanted to go after. And that's not the point of tonight, but it was enough to start with. He said, I want you to make cassette copies of it. You know, I want you to record the services and make copies of them. He says, now, number one, I don't want you to take up any offerings from these people at all. Number two, don't sell any tapes. You buy the cassettes, you make the copies, you give them to them free. When they start wanting copies sent to their friends and relatives, I want you to buy the mailers, I want you to pay the postage, I want you to pay for the cassettes, and I want you to send them free. Now, I did ask him a question at this point. I said, Lord, can I at least put in a return envelope? No, you can't put in a return envelope. Now, I have to qualify at this point. I believe in all those things. It's not wrong to take up offerings. It's not wrong to sell tapes. It's not wrong to do any of those things. Now, the whole point of what we're doing here is not for anyone to leave here and try and imitate what God told me to do. What we're trying to do is get you on the path where you can find out what he's telling you to do. See, I've been down every rabbit trail there is when it comes to prosperity. How many of y'all have tried the 100-fold return? Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given unto you. Isaac sowed in famine. Yeah, Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes. I've tried all of those. And, you know, Malachi says that if it's working right for you, he's going to pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. I asked this question this morning. How many in here ever has been a tither? Raise your hand, please. How many of y'all still have room enough to receive some of those blessings? Something's not right here. Something's not right. You know, our understanding is not right here. Okay. I have been down every single one of those rabbit trails. I couldn't get any of them to work. And when I say I went down them, I mean I went down them. When they were teaching the 100-fold return strong. Now, by the way, all that's in the Bible. Giving and receiving and all of that's all through the Bible. I'm not coming against any of that. Our problem is we still don't understand it. We still don't. The men teaching us, maybe they do. It's working for them. I just noticed it wasn't working for me. You know, and I tried. I bought an accountant's ledger. Every time that 100-fold return, I gave $10 times 100. God owes me. Well, that's what they preached, wasn't it? I literally did it. I literally did it. So I kept track of that. How many of y'all think that worked real well? It didn't work at all. You know, it didn't work at all. Now, see, looking back on it now, because we're fixing to get into it, all those years, and I didn't really realize then that I was doing it. Looking back on it now, I realize I was. See, if I could have found a formula that somehow caused me to be able to tap into the abundance of God, it would free me from having to have an ongoing daily relationship with my Lord. I wouldn't have to seek Him and listen to Him and follow His counsel day by day. I could just apply this little formula and I could prosper and do things my way. Everyone collectively say, ouch. Now, I didn't realize that's what I was doing, but it was what I was doing. I was seeking the formula. I was seeking the prosperity. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says those that as long as you seek the Lord, God makes you to prosper. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Not His formulas, not His prosperity. You seek Him. That's the what He rewards. Okay, getting back to praying in the trucks. Getting back to the second instructions. Well, that's what he told me to do. He said, take up no offerings, sell no tapes, mail everything free, put in no return envelope. He cut off every limb off of the tree that I could even possibly think of would bring us any finances, even ministry things, offerings, tapes. Oh, and one other, the final instruction. Oh, by the way, son, don't ever let another human being know of any need that you ever have. I want you to turn to me and me alone and make your requests known unto me and I'll provide them. Now here's what he told me. Now I didn't say this part this morning. He said, if you will faithfully and precisely follow these instructions, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the ministry. 2.5 years, he's been, almost 2.5 years now, he's been doing exactly that. He's not only provided all of our needs, he's not only provided all the needs of the ministry, he has gotten us completely out of debt, paid off our car, paid off all the credit cards, sent us on a vacation, by the way. My wife got a craving for lobster, so I took her to Maine to get one. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know, went by Niagara Falls on the way back and had a good time. All paid for by the Lord, and not from ministry funds either, by the way. Hallelujah. When someone walks up to you and hands you $1,000 and says, God told me you need a vacation, I don't want a receipt. That's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, thank you, and we're gone. Hallelujah. Now, everything that I'm fixing to tell you now, I did not receive from man. I got this praying in the Holy Ghost. It's been in the Bible all the time. God is no respecter of persons. Again, I tell you, I am just a sheep that prays. Anything that you're about to be, if you get blessed by anything you hear tonight, and you need to know more about it, I can tell you right now how to find out more about it. You're welcome to our tapes. But the best way to find out about it is get in your own prayer closet, wherever that is, and you yourself start releasing the Holy Spirit to explain these mysteries to you. I'm just the guy. I think one of the reasons God chose Sue, I didn't have you stand up tonight, baby. This is my wife, Sue. This is my daughter, Erin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think one of the reasons God chose Sue and I is we are so outstandingly ordinary. I mean, we're just ordinary people, you know. There's nothing special about us at all. We got plenty of faults, you know. We're not perfect by any means, you know. Like I said, he's already told me the only reason he uses me, I don't have any quitting sense, that's all. I'm just stubborn, that's all, you know. But we're just plain people. I'm telling you, if he's done anything for us, he'll do it for you. Now, he may not be calling you to full-time ministry like he was us. I love what the brother said over here about the business. He says, if you let the Lord run it, he knows how to run a business and don't take it back. See, whatever you're called to do, the idea is to find out the wisdom of God on how to do it. Now, we obeyed the Lord. 1996 was our first full year in the ministry. We sent out 1,600 of those free tapes. Had I charged $3 a tape, that would be what, $4,800, right? About the most I see anybody charging for tapes is about $5 a piece, isn't that about right? Okay, 1,600 times 5, that would have been $8,000. Do you know how much I would have had to have charged to bring in the amount of money that God sent by us obeying Him? I would have had to have charged $17 a tape. Have y'all ever tried to sell any of your tapes for $17? Yeah, we sold 2 last year, $17 a piece, you know. Now, I like to capitalize that by saying, Father knows best. Say, when he tells you to, here's my only prosperity formula, and if you're making notes, be sure you write this down. I guarantee you this is a prosperity formula that'll work. And it'll work every time, 100% of the time. Ready? Whatever he says to you, do it. That will prosper. Now, see, there's a real catch-22 in there. Because in order for you to ever work that formula, guess what a prerequisite is? You're going to have to spend time with Him. There's just no other way. You can't come to me and find out. I'm spending all the time I'm spending with Him to be finding out what I'm supposed to do. You go pray yourself, you old flaky thing. You know, get in your prayer closet yourself. What's wrong with you? You got the same Holy Ghost in your belly I got in mine. Hallelujah. He'll talk to you. Hallelujah. Now, the reason the Lord had me come to Houston, and the reason He's going to send me some other places, He's got a message He wants to deliver to the church at large. He told me some things right around the first of the year that you ought to be aware of. Number one, the Lord didn't appear to me. He spoke to me very plainly, and He said, I am going to change the church's mentality regarding kingdom finances. I think he said kingdom prosperity, from formula to relationship. You got that part? Let me try it again one more time. I am going to change the church's mentality regarding kingdom prosperity from formula to relationship. Now, we've all been wondering, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working just a little better than it's working? You know, we've all been givers. We've all tried all these different things, and it works to a certain degree. But when you read about the type of prosperity that God wants to manifest and needs to manifest in these last days to get done the job that he wants done in the earth, which is to preach this gospel to every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, I'm telling you, it takes lots of money, lots of it. I was telling LaRue today, even if our fledgling little ministry, just the postage now is running over $100 a week, not counting the cassettes and the mailers and all of that. I still remember when we sent out our first few tapes. You know, those first little box of tapes, you know, I was so proud. Takes lots of money. The Lord has never wanted robot pre-programmed believers that you press certain buttons and they act this way. He wants to be God to his own peculiar people. And he would love it if you would come in and talk with him and sit at his feet. Turn to Isaiah 48:17. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48:17. Now, Georgia gave me that look today when I threw out the bait. I said that tonight we're going to talk about the foundation of all kingdom prosperity, and it's certainly not your giving. And I think I hooked a few. We're going to get to that next here. Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Who is our Redeemer? Jesus. This is Jesus himself talking to the church. I mean, I know here in the Old Testament it was Jesus, you know, speaking to Israel. We are the believers today, and our Redeemer says to us, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. If you look up that Hebrew word profit, it means to ascend higher and higher, one step at a time, like going up a staircase. Higher and higher, one step at a time, like going up a staircase. That sounds like to me that he is going to come and teach you to profit. And from the moment that you learn to hear his voice and spend time with him, that right there is the bottom of your roller coaster ride. From here on, it's going to be up, steadily up, no more downs. How many of y'all would like some of that? Hallelujah. All right, the first thing we're going to do tonight, we're going to have to reset the foundation stone for your prosperity. Now, we'll do it like this. Today, because the giving and receiving has been taught so strong, and it needed to be taught strong, but it's been taught so strongly now that whenever you start talking with any believers about prosperity, the first thing that comes up practically is giving. It's as if our mind immediately goes prosperity, kingdom, giving. Like that's the foundation. It's not the foundation for your prosperity at all. Now here's the analogy that the Lord gave me. Let me ask y'all something. Are we supposed to forgive people? The fact that we forgive other people, is that what gets us into heaven? No. The foundation for getting into heaven is the fact that Jesus bore your sins on the cross so that you could receive forgiveness from the Father. Isn't that right? Now, that's our foundation. He took our sins so that we could be forgiven all of our sins. From that foundation, then, based upon that, as an outgrowth, we forgive others. Isn't that right? Okay, let me ask you about your healing now. The reason that you get healed, brother, is because you had perfect church attendance last year. Isn't that right? It's important to go to church, right? But so that's how you get healed, is by perfect church attendance. Is that right? No, it's not? Okay, so what would be the foundation for your healing? It would be the fact that he bore your sicknesses, carried your pains and diseases on the cross, and by his stripes ye were healed. That's the foundation, isn't that right? So there's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to add to his work. Isn't that right? So if he bore our sicknesses on that cross, and all we can do is receive healing free, like the man on the horizon, by faith, and if he bore our sin on that cross, and all we can do is, like the man on the horizon, receive forgiveness by faith, well, how is it all of a sudden that since 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, that would be in heaven, yet for your sake, he became poor, that would be on the cross, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. How is it, though, when it comes to prosperity, suddenly our giving becomes the foundation? That's not what 2 Corinthians, look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9 in your Bible. And if you don't know it, this is the foundation scripture for all New Testament prosperity. In the same way that Jesus hung on that cross and bore your sin, in the same way that he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says right on that same cross, he bore your poverty. Why? Well, why did he bear your sin? So that you could have heaven's forgiveness. Why did he bear your sickness? So you could be healed. So why would he bear your poverty? So you could have access to all the riches of the Father. Isn't that right? See, we have shifted our foundation over onto works, which is our giving. We didn't realize we were doing it. I mean, the whole creed has become, well, I gave, so it'll be given unto me. Well, now that's in the Bible, isn't it? Well, let me ask you this. Are you supposed to forgive? Are you supposed to forgive other people? If you try and get into heaven based on that, will that work? Let me tell you something. If you try and access God's vault by your works, that won't work either. You're trying to access God's vault by your giving? That'll work about as well as trying to get to heaven based on your forgiven folks. That'll work about as well as you getting healed based on your church attendance. It's works. Those things are outgrowth of what Jesus did. The foundation for receiving from God is always the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. End of story. That's it. Exclamation point. No more. It's the work of Jesus on the cross. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and let's read it together. Say, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Now notice, through his poverty, not your giving. I don't even take a list of my giving to God anymore when I need stuff. I don't go to God. I used to. You know, I remember my ledger book? Look, God, I gave here, and I gave here, and I gave here, and I gave here, times 100. Look at how much money you owe me, God, based on what I did. Y'all think that worked? You think it's going to work this year? What about next year? That is never going to work. See, I don't even go to God anymore. In the book of Hebrews, it says, when you need help, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, grace, if I still understand what grace is, means that's when God uses his power and all of his provision on my behalf when I don't deserve it. Isn't that what grace is? It's not when you come and he does stuff for you because you earned it. It's because you don't deserve it. I mean, by definition, that's what grace is. And my Bible says we need to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain two things. Mercy and to find grace to help. How many of y'all need help? I want grace to help. Okay? Grace to help. So that means if when I come to God and I need money, let's just get real. I need money, God. God, I need some money. Okay? Are we down? Everyone understand that statement? I'm not losing anybody here, right? The rent is due tomorrow, Lord, and I need the money. Okay? Now, my Bible says when I need help, I am to come to the throne of grace. All right, now, if it's grace, one thing's for sure, I can't bring my works to receive grace. Now, can I? If it's grace, it's got to be based on something other than my works. Well, let me ask you this. When you plan on entering heaven, when that time comes, are you going to be telling God about all your good works on this earth and that's the reason why he should let you in? Huh? Oh, God, I hope you don't. Don't miss that idea. You're going to come, hopefully, with a bowl in your hand that's full of nothing but the blood of Jesus. Or something like that. See it on the doorpost of your heart. The point being, it needs to be the blood and only the blood. That is the same throne you're coming to now to obtain help, God. I need money. Rather than bring a list of your works and your giving, how about coming and saying, Lord, do you remember when they nailed your son to that cross, and they stripped him of every earthly possession. They even cast lots for his clothes at the foot of the cross, and he was stripped of everything this world has to offer. He didn't have to do it, Lord. Father, he didn't have to do that. He only did that for one reason. He had it made in heaven. He did not have to come here and do that. But your word says that he came to do it for me. And right there, he bore my poverty, the poverty I deserved as a sinner, the poverty I deserved as an outcast. And he bore my poverty in order that I, through that poverty, could have access to all of your wealth, Father. Now, Father, based on that work and that work alone, I'm asking for my rent tomorrow, my car payment, whatever it is you're needing from God. What do you think God might hear that prayer? You think God honors the work of his Son, Jesus Christ? Now, that is coming boldly to the throne. You get that foundation in you, and you worship God. You start calling Jesus your provider because he did that for you. It's right there that he provided everything you're ever going to need for not just this life, for all eternity. Right there is where he provided. You start worshiping God based on that fact and thanking Jesus that he is your provider, thanking the Father for supplying all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have got your feet on the foundation. You're on the rock now that can't be moved. And if God doesn't honor that prayer, he'll have to fall off the throne. He'll have to dishonor the work of his own Son because he sent Jesus, and Jesus did that for the express purpose that you could always have access to all the Father has. Glory to God. You missed a good place to give him glory. Let's just give him some. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give you praise, Father. Well, you say, Brother Gary, where does giving come into it? Well, let me ask you this. Again, I like the analogy of the forgiveness. Now, let's say you're born again. You're forgiven. But now, Jesus still said, if you don't forgive, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. Isn't that right? So would you say your forgiveness is pretty important for a successful Christian life? Well, in the same way, so is your giving. Now, here's the big thing, though, see? Let's just think for a minute, just for a moment. Forget all the circumstances. Just for a moment, let's just say, just for fun, that 2 Corinthians 8:9 is true. Now, if 2 Corinthians 8:9 is true, has Jesus already paid that price or not? So, are you already rich or not? Huh? Wait a minute. I thought we were giving, trying to get God to make us rich. Sort of giving to get. Now, see, that's the whole problem. That's like forgiving people, trying to get God to forgive you. No, it don't work that way. It's because you're forgiven, you can freely forgive. Let me tell you something, rich folks. It's because you're already rich that it's easy to give. Why do you think God loves a cheerful giver? I'm already rich. When it comes offering time, let me ask you, what do rich people that love God do at offering time? You give. Do y'all think this is a work of God going on here? You wouldn't be here I'm talking about this ministry here. Y'all wouldn't be here if you didn't think so, isn't that right? So you come and say, I think God's working in this place. I believe in the vision that LaRue's got. I believe in the vision that Pastor George has got. And I don't know the other ones, you know. I believe in this vision. What do rich people that love God, that are attending a certain, members of a certain vision, what do? You support it, don't you? And you support it big. Trying to get God to bless you? Well, how could he do that? I'm already rich with everything he has. Now, you're hearing me say that tonight. You're going, well, that's nice. And you're not disagreeing. You know, nobody's throwing any prophet rocks right now. But see, this doesn't work because you hear me say it. This doesn't work because tomorrow, when you go look at your checkbook, and it doesn't say you're rich. In fact, it says you're barely making it. Please hear this. You cannot believe the word by choosing to. The Bible doesn't teach that. I gotta let that sink in for a minute. You cannot believe the Bible by choosing to. You say, well, yes, I can. I've heard that my whole life. I don't care what you heard your whole life. No, you can't. Jesus said, It's what's in your heart in abundance. I have people come to me, you know, now that we're in the ministry. Well, I've been doing this, Brother Gary, and I've been doing that, and it just isn't working, you know. And I always tell them, first off, you're a liar. God's word is true. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John works for everybody. It is not just for some people and not for others. And if you're doing it, it will work for you. And if it's not working for you, it's because you're not doing it. Repent, first off. You'll never get anywhere with God by lying. There is no such thing as doing Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John and it not working for you. Now, if it's not working for you, it's because you're not doing it. Well, I'll just go to a ministry where they're nice to me. Fine. You're not paying me anyway. I don't work for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? I don't work for you. It's a good position. See, I thought God was being real mean to me when he gave me those instructions. And I can't tell you how free it is, how nice it is to be totally free of ever having to even think about money. I don't have to think about it. I'm not in charge of the money. I quit paying the bills around our place 2 years ago. Now, the Lord uses my arm to write the checks, but he pays the bills. He absolutely does. And I'll tell you something else. I can afford to do anything he tells me to do. Well, it's his money. Haggai, my Bible says, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. The silver is mine, saith the Lord. If the Lord comes and tells me to blanket Houston, how many people live in Houston? 3.5 million. He says, I want a tape, cassette tape on the foundation of prosperity mailed to every address in Houston. I'm telling you right now, I can afford to do that. I don't work for money. Money makes neither the abundance of it nor the lack of it controls me. I can do whatever God tells me to do. Say, what, you're sounding pretty cocky. You get out on this limb 2.5 years, and what, you know, even I'm convinced after 2.5 years, God can afford to do whatever he says. God can afford to do whatever he says. Right now, he hasn't asked me to do that. Do y'all see that foundation shift? Your giving is very important. Because it is an act of your faith. But where we've missed it, we've gotten over to where our giving has literally become our foundation. You might as well try to get into heaven trying, you know, based on forgiving people as to do that. That's why it's not working for the church at large. We've got our foundation over on the works. Works never gets it done. Never gets it done. Remember when I said this morning, the foundation, I'll say it again, I'm trying to say it 900 ways. The foundation for your prosperity is the poverty that Jesus bore for you on the cross, not your giving. Oh, let that sink into you. Go around and what he had me do to burn this into me, that was one of the three verses, 2 Corinthians 8:9. He had me walk the floor and speak that 4 hours a day in my case. Two other verses that he had me do at the same time was, one of them was Psalms 34:10. Which is, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord, seek the Lord himself, seek the Lord, shall not lack any good thing. Glory to God. Since the revelation of that went off in my spirit, God has sent us 2 computers paid for. I asked him for a laser printer one morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. Nobody but me and God knew anything about that prayer. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the same day, a man comes to my door. Where do you want this laser printer? God told me you needed one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told him this morning about the guy that came Christmas Eve when we were just beginning to really tap into the revelation of this. And we were behind on our bills at that point. The ministry was so small. And he says, I want you to add up everything that it would take to get you current on your bills through the first of the year. I knew off the top of my head that was about $2,800. I didn't know what he was thinking, $200, $150. I didn't know what he was thinking. I went and added it up, came to $2,825, I think. He looked at it, went, I thought she's talking about real money. Pitched that over to his wife. He says, add a tithe onto there and write him out a check. And he wrote us out a check for $3,200. And we were caught up for the year. Praise God. This stuff works. This stuff works if we get our feet on the right foundation. Get your feet on the... Now, the number one way to do that is start worshiping God for the poverty that Jesus bore for you on the cross. That's what opens up heaven's bank, is what Jesus did for you on the cross. And your giving is an outgrowth from that, just as surely as your forgiving other people is an outgrowth from the fact that He forgave you, that He bore your sins. Have you got that point? All right. Now, let's see. How does LaRue do that? I'm starting closing. Okay, I told you about 2 Corinthians 8:9. Changing the mentality from formula to relationship. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow night. Whatever He says to you, do it. Now, here's an announcement. I'm a messenger tonight from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. January 1st, 1997, the one that we just passed, marked a transition. It marked the beginning of the fulfillment of the scripture which says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Now, I'm telling you, by authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that started January 1st, 1997, and it's going to do nothing but accelerate until the coming of the Lord. Now, I might as well tell you why He's doing that. Number one, it all belongs to Him. I'd like for you to search your Bibles and try and find where God ever turned the world and its resources over to the devil. You can't find it. He turned it over to Adam. He gave Adam dominion over all the works of his hands. Now, Adam lost dominion by his rebellion, and the devil took it by force. The devil being a spirit being and Adam now being a flesh being couldn't stop him. How many even know the Bible speaks of the second man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ? He came back. He faced the devil in the wilderness. He overcame where the first Adam failed. And when he died on the cross, Adam died. When he was raised from the dead, the last Adam appeared on the scene. And God said, basically, the king is dead. Long live the king. Adam, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come and has gotten the dominion back. God has turned, every time we say Jesus is Lord, what we mean by that, the Father owns everything, but He has made Jesus, His Son, Lord, you could say steward, over everything. Well, how come the devil has it all in, Brother Gary? Because the church is stupid. Well, that's it. We've been programmed by religion. We've had that old poverty doctrine preached to us. Somehow we thought it was right somehow that the devil and his crowd could have all the money and turn out all this filth out of Hollywood and pornography. And somehow the devil convinced us that was God's idea. Or that it was somehow right for the devil to have it. You can't find in your Bible where God ever turned the resources over to the devil. He gave it to the first Adam. The first Adam died when Christ died. When Jesus was raised from the dead, all authority, Jesus said, has been given unto me in heaven and earth. He is the second man, the last Adam, and now all of the resources belong to Him. He intends for the church to have it, in order to get the work done that needs to be done in this earth. Now here's the problem he has with the church. The church is so full of the love of money that if He gave it to us right now, we'd all go spend it on idols. Now He's trying to drive the money changers out of the temple. Hello, temple. He's trying to drive the money changers, and I'm just touching on previews of the next couple of nights. He's trying to drive the money changers out of the temple. I thought I was ready for this mighty ministry, last end time ministry, 2 years ago. God, I'm your man. You want to finance massive revivals? I'm your man. Just give me the wisdom on how to make the millions, God. I've got this. I make the millions. I give it to Pastor Dave. And Pastor Dave goes and wins Japan. I've got it, Lord. See, I've got it. Just give me the wisdom to take the millions, and I'll go win Japan. And after a little while, the Lord said to me in no uncertain terms, don't rush it, son. I don't want you to go to hell over money. Now, when the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, it's not kidding. And even when we think we've become dead to it, you got to get fairly dead to it to step out with no job, no offerings, sell no tapes, pay all the postage, and don't ever tell anybody about a need. Now, I'm telling you, that's somewhat dead. I was already doing that when God told me I wasn't dead enough. It's been 2 years since he told me that. You with me? That root goes real deep, that love of money stuff. Goes real deep, see? Okay. In the same way that Jesus... Okay, I heard that. All right, I got to show you this. And then I really am closing. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 21. Turn to Matthew 21. After I'd been praying a while in the trucks, this is only 2 or 3 months into it when I was praying in the trucks. Now, one day, I was just really getting upset. I know none of you ever get upset with the Lord. But I was getting upset because I'd been praying and I'd been praying and I hadn't heard the Lord say nothing. Nothing, no how, anyway, none. And I was getting upset. And finally I asked him, I said, Lord, I know you're doing something while I'm doing all this praying. I haven't heard from you and, you know, I can't remember now if it was hours or days. I hadn't heard anything. What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing in me while I'm doing all this praying in tongues? And instantly, as clearly as I hear anybody, I heard him say, I'm driving the money changers from the temple. And I said, what? You're doing what? Now, I remembered that was a scripture. He says, I'm driving the money changers from the temple. And then he reminded me of this passage that we're going to look at here, Matthew chapter 21, and starting in verse 10. I'm sorry, starting in verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out 2/3 of them that sold and bought in the temple. Is that what yours says? Okay. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, when he came to me and started teaching me these things, I was like most Americans. I love God. I was saved at this point. To some extent, I was serving him. But I got to tell you, most of my weight's in the affairs of life, what we would call the world. Now, it seemed perfectly normal because everybody I knew was like that too. Okay? But what God intended, he always intended for us, the temple of God, to be what? The house of prayer. A house of worship. A house of trust. A house of praise. A house of what? The house of power. See? But my insides, the temple, the holy of holies on me was a den of thieves. It was a den of merchants. I was always thinking, how are we going to do this and how are we going to pay for that and how are we going to get this done? We need a better house and we need a better car and we need a this and we need a that. And how are we going to do it? Maybe I ought to move here. Maybe I ought to move there. Maybe I ought to get this job. Maybe I ought to switch to that occupation. And none of y'all ever think like that. I know. How are we going to pay for the washing machine? Our washing machine's about broke. And then right after that, the dryer's going to come on top of that. We're expecting a new baby, and I don't know how we're going to pay for that. It's become a house of merchants, merchandising, always thinking about the money. When God says no, it's supposed to be a house of prayer, a house of trust, a house of power. Amen? But now look, he went on to show me what happens if he can ever get the money changers out of there. Now remember, you're the temple, right? You're the temple. All right, now watch. Picking it up. Now see, verse 13 again. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. But now notice, once he drove the money changers out. Notice up there it said he cast out all them. Then look what Jesus can do in the temple. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him where? Who are you? And if Jesus can drive the money changers out, where does he take up residence? In the temple. Then the blind and then the lame can come to him in you, and he will heal them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all think we need to drive some money changers out of the temple? The Holy Ghost has been sent to do exactly that. You can't do it. You cannot get on the inside of yourself and drive these money changers out. That's what I meant by the statement earlier. You can't do this just because you choose to. Well, the only thing you can choose to do is turn yourself. This is, and actually we're talking Romans 12:1, that you present your bodies unto God a living sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? That means you go find you a prayer closet where there's no phone and there's no television and there's no computer and there's nothing for your body to be doing. And you get in there and you shut yourself up with the Holy Ghost and let him that can, that him that still has the scourge and the whip in his hand, get on the inside of your temple and start driving the money changers out. He will drive all that out of you, and he will build into you the very love of God, the trust of God. You'll, miracle of miracles, you'll come to the point where you'll believe him. He'll tell you, send 3 million tapes to Houston, and your only response is, yes, sir. And I can afford it. Because he told me. Aren't you tired of the formulas? Wouldn't you rather have a relationship with the living God? When he comes up and you hear a voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Is that worth a little prayer time in the closet? What do you think? Aren't you tired of the formulas? Wouldn't you rather walk with him? Hallelujah. All he's waiting for is for you to come into the prayer closet so he can come into the temple. You let the Holy Ghost in there, he'll drive them money changers out. And I think that's what he wanted to say tonight. Hallelujah. Now, one other thing. Do y'all like that message? You think it's God? I doubt seriously it'll change your life at all. Unless you make a quality decision to schedule some time for that prayer closet this week. Because if you don't do it on purpose, I mean, you think it's important enough to schedule your doctor's appointment. You'll arrange your life to make that doctor's appointment because you know you can't miss it, see? But if I don't get it across to you that this appointment is the number one thing for changing the rest of your life to the point that you're willing to schedule some time with him, the only one who can get in there and drive those money changers out, unless I can convince you to do that, you probably should have went to the mall and watched a movie tonight. Because just because you heard me preach it, and just because it works for me, does not mean it will work for you. It'll only work for you if you schedule some time, and I said schedule some time, with the Holy Ghost. Whatever you think your flesh can stand, if you pray, if you give him 30 minutes, he'll drive and he'll teach you for 30 minutes. If you can give him an hour, he'll work with you for an hour. If you give him 4 hours, he'll work with you for 4 hours. It's just up to you. You can finish this college course in 4 years or 9. Hallelujah. LaRue, that's all I had for tonight. Did that bless you? Hallelujah. Glory to God.